We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Our normal Friday, so it's supposed to be feel good, fast Friday.
Certainly the goal, Coach. Neil and Parkins on the score.
It sure is. It's the goal is to make it feel fast. I feel good fast Friday because sometimes during a course of a five-hour flight, it never feels fast.
For us.
Yeah, the objective is to make it feel like it went fast when we get to 6 o'clock today as we try to get people pumped up for their weekends and excited about the NFL and the four games we got in front of us. There's lots of reasons to be happy today. For me, I'm in a great mood. I got to get some food soon, though, before it disappears.
They bought $100 worth of grocery store sushi for you.
I wanted to have a cigarette before I got my brown rice.
Oh, okay. It's all very confusing. By the way, this is the problem with health today, in my not-so-healthy and humble opinion. We got a dozen texters saying that pressure-cooked white rice is actually now considered healthier than brown rice. People can't make up their minds.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Should I be paleo? Should I be keto? Should I be vegan? Is steak healthy?
Right.
Whole Atkins
2%. Versus the zone.
We've decided bread and pasta.
Well, you try
terrible.
What works for you. A lot of it depends on your body type, your metabolism, your family history. A lot of, there are variables just as there are with medications. It's the same for anything you put in your body. People respond differently to some degrees.
I understand.
If you're a chubby guy like I am, dead start is a bad idea. Now, if you have a mesomorphic body, a muscular, perfectly proportionate body, then go ahead and have some. If you're a marathon runner, if you're an ectomorph, which you are, feel free to have rice.
What'd you call me?
An ectomorph.
An ectomorph to the Google machine.
Really?
An ectomorph.
Yeah, they didn't have biology at Syracuse?
Oh, I cheated in most of my science classes.
I don't know
classes.
If that would be in biology. Yeah, health science of some type?
Lean and long with difficulty building muscle. Yeah, that's an ectomorph.
Yeah.
That's me. But what do you make of the skinny fatness around the...
I don't know what to make of
double
it. What do you make of that? My skinny guy double chin. What do you make of that? Light him up.
I'm worried. Now you got me convinced that it's all the white rice at Chipotle I've had over the years.
Could be.
That's what I'm saying.
See, follow me.
So I got to go to brown rice now. I'm telling you.
It tastes better, too. It tastes better.
Tastes better?
It's more than just it's more than just a vehicle for what's inside of it, which is the delicious, raw tuna and avocado, whatever else you like in your sushi.
I love it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All that does is, give you a vehicle for it. So I might as well enjoy it. Brown rice is more enjoyable.
So why then?
Damn.
Why?
Does nobody
if
have
brown
it?
Rice is so much better.
I have your answer.
Does no one in Chicago? I mean,
because
no
people. Shep, why are Americans way overweight? Why do drive-thrus with fast food prosper everywhere? Because people prefer what they think tastes better. People prefer the stuff that's not so healthy. That's why. I was surprised that he tried as many restaurants as he did, and there's no brown rice. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I called a sushi store.
10 places.
Yeah.
Called 10
for 10.
Chicago
restaurants. I find that hard to believe.
I was there for
Cody was taking videos of all of them. So.
See? Really, we shouldn't be toast. I shouldn't be surprised. This is, after all, a rib town.
Yes.
We learned that last week.
A town known for its rib joints. And yes, texters, we are going back over John Feinstein's Sports Minute because it seems like there was a hilarious local error.
That's just out-of-town ignorance. Maybe he thought it was a name, doesn't recognize the sponsorship.
I'd still like to hear it.
Sure. I'm all for piling on our Sports Minutes.
Yeah, just let's, we're going through. Oh, here we go.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute. Finally, some truly big hot stove baseball news. No, Bryce Harper hasn't signed, neither has Manny Machado. But the San Francisco Giants ballpark has a new name. Oh, joy. The Giants' beautiful ballpark in downtown San Francisco will start its 20th season come spring. It will do so with its fourth name. In the past, it's been named for various phone companies. Now it will be named after what is described as a technology giant. Fine. Everyone knows that teams at every level of sports love to sell naming rights for big bucks. Wouldn't it be nice if the Giants showed some class and named their park for Willie Mays? Of course, San Francisco isn't the only baseball stadium that will have a new name this season. Seattle also has a new corporate deal. Let's be thankful that no one has slapped a corporate logo on Yankee Stadium, Fenway Park, or Wrigley Field yet. When that happens, oops, the apocalypse will truly be upon us.
Oops.
I'm John Feinstein.
No one has slapped a corporate name on Wrigley Field. That's awesome. That is just awesome.
How does that get produced and put on the air?
I don't know. I guess
they would trust their guys who do it. You know, Tiki Barber, Boomer, they'd never make an error.
Well, I mean,
it happens.
I assume it has to be submitted through, and you know, some sort of production obviously goes
right.
with it with music.
Right.
So yeah, someone
production
listens
guy
to
may
it.
Not be aware of it.
Exactly,
he should say something. Hey, John, you want to come in here? I'm going to offer you a piece of gum in a green wrapper. It says Wrigley's on it.
That's spectacular, though. That's we've all made them, obviously.
Yeah,
I'm John Feinstein.
Okay. Yeah, it's a pretty. You don't think of it as sponsorship though, because you don't. It doesn't
well,
say
not.
Wrigley's Gum Field,
and it's not a traditional sponsorship in that they don't still pay money, right? It was a one time thing. Like it's not like the Wrigley Gum Corporation is still spending money for the naming rights at Wrigley Field. Like
we should get them to, then they can afford Bryce Harper.
I believe that it's Wrigley Field, and that the deal ran out, but they bought it in like perpetuity, and it's one of the great deals ever. Carrier Dome was a similar way.
Okay.
It was a one-time fee, but they get Carrier Dome for forever. For
so
the
there's a new in case of emergency break glass topic. How would you feel if the Cubs sold naming rights to your precious Wrigley Field?
And could they hang Derrick Rose's number one jersey from the left field foul pole?
They should. They
on
should.
On a day when Sammy throws out the first pitch.
Oh, gosh. Right. I'm taking off that day.
And
I'm
is Steve Traxel throwing up the Cubs convention? Do we have an answer yet?
Well, no. Aren't you looking for a list?
I've been looking, and I've yet to see one.
Okay.
Have they not released it yet, or just...
You know, I assume Shep would be able to find it.
Yeah, I would think so.
I can find 2017s. I can find 2018s. I can't so much find this
Wait,
one. Wait,
aren't we going to be at Cubs Convention, the show?
Yes.
Just invite Steve over. Steve, you're at Cubs Convention. How does it feel?
We'll give him some passes. That's not a bad idea.
Giving away a pair of Cubs passes today to the convention. Our winner, Steve from whatever city in
Arizona.
City Valley, Arizona. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be funny. He's never got an invite. Yeah. We have him as an honored guest.
I thought that was weird, too, when he told us he's never been invited. They've invited some pretty, you know, small names to that thing over the years. Now, with the success in recent years, maybe some of those names don't get invited, but for 20 years, you don't once say, okay, we had a big year in 98. This guy won more games than anybody in the decade of the 90s in a Cubs uniform.
I'm with you. Let's bring Steve Traxel.
Get it in. All right. I'll text him and see if he's free next weekend.
Yeah, text him and just say, hey, we're going to be there.
Hey, Trax Harry.
We got tickets.
Go to Johnny O's.
We just have Steve sit with us for 5 hours on Friday afternoon.
I mean, 5 hours might be a stretch, but
he'd make it
seven.
He
wants to be a part. He's making up for it. I mean, lost time.
But
all these years he's missed.
He could also like be a field reporter. He could we could say, okay, go walk around Cubs convention and see how many people stop you in an hour and then come back. Do you get recognized as Steve Traxel here? He doesn't have to necessarily co-host a full 5 hour show.
Well, I mean, it turned into a 7 hour show if he did.
Yeah, right. No, that's what Max said. Yeah, okay, let's do it. Let's there's ways.
I'm for it, yeah.
There's ways to go about
right.
it.
Right. I mean, they should have good relations with guys on that 98 team. Don't blame everybody because one guy bailed on you in the middle of a game and cheated and people don't like him now. Some people don't like him.
Some people. Yeah. Some people.
You had a poster of him on your wall.
Not quite that far, but you know, I didn't.
Right next to the Howard Stern poster.
Oh, loved Howard Stern.
But be careful what you say today, Mac.
Hey, good advice is what you pay for, buddy. You pay nothing, so feel free to disregard.
No.
Feel
that's okay.
Free.
No, I need reminders now and again.
Feel
Are you kidding
free
me?
To disregard. Oh man, so you want to talk about Cody Parkey today, right? That's what I'm getting from you based on our pre-show and your mood today.
I believe that there is a percentage of people that that wants to hear from us about Cody Parkey. You want to start there?
It's how I feel about it is basically it's fairly simple to me. He's getting horrible advice if he ever wants to be a Bear again, and my guess is he doesn't want to be a Bear again. Like, I don't care how evolved of a human being Cody Parkey is, because he's moved on already from the kick because football is in his life, and he has a great wife and a great dog, and he's a man of faith. Like, good.
Mm-hmm.
Then enjoy your wife and your dog and being a man of faith. There is no reason to go on national TV and bring the story back up. You're just twisting the knife. Even if that's unintentional,
yeah.
Good for you for being evolved. Bears fans are still upset. Don't rub it in their face on a new platform.
The interviewers, as David Haw pointed out this morning, did a terrible job. There was no substance in the interview. Oh, woe is me. You know, at least you did the right thing and you answered questions. You know, you're going to bring a guy to New York and say congratulations because you answered questions after you cost the football players a chance at advancement? Okay, I guess. That's a low bar for me, but they didn't ask. You know, how rough was the criticism? Have you had anybody threatening you or family members? It didn't get deep at all. It gave no context to the horrible season he's had or previous clankages, doinkages.
I honestly, when I saw that he was going on the Today Show, I didn't mock it because I assumed there was an element of the story that we did not know.
Correct.
And it was that he had gotten a death threat or his kid or something had been bullied at school. I didn't even know that he didn't have a kid and it's just his wife and his dog. Like,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I figured there was some sort of element to the story that had crossed some sort of line that made it appropriate for daytime television.
Right. Who in Enid, Oklahoma cares about a brokenhearted Chicago Bears kicker?
In a wild card game. And I get it. It happened on NBC and they crossed promotion from a highly rated game, I guess.
Yeah, that's a reach.
Stretch, right? Like, you just shut up. Congratulations, you're evolved. You've moved on. Not everyone else has.
In a few minutes before noon today, you can follow me on Twitter at DannyMac670. I asked this question. How do you feel about the incessant Cody Parkey conversation? Three options. Can't get enough of it, want to turn away but can't, or punch in the button. 500 plus people have voted. 85% of those who did say, I'm punching the button. 12% say, I want to turn away but can't. 3% only say, can't get enough of it. Well, if you can't get enough of it, the score has been for you today.
Well, yeah, then let's get away from it, man.
I have 3%. We want to placate.
I have no problem getting away from it.
Or let's talk about it all day and then wonder why we talked about it all day like Molly did today.
Okay, I'm done.
Who cares about this? This is all I heard on my commute to Glenview. And then he's begging the question, who cares at this point? It's over, right? People want to move on.
That's ridiculous. I am done with it. I was just surprised from a PR standpoint today. You're getting horrible advice. I can't imagine who he thinks that benefited today.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be the next Michael Strahan. You know, it's not like he's like transitioning for a role on the Today Show. He's Cody Parkey. No one cares. Like, it's not
he
doing
appears
anything.
Pretty dull.
No, it's not doing anything for his brand. No one's giving him an endorsement deal for it. Like, I just... Qui bono? Who benefits? Who benefits by this? I don't understand what you're doing.
Qui gives a...
Exactly. That's where I'm at now. I was like, man, what a weird, odd, bizarre, unnecessary choice.
No text or punching the button is not a euphemism for anything. Although Johnny Fontaine points out on my Twitter account that you forgot the PTFB, which is a Macism, punch the F button. I'm claiming that one. Yeah, over the years, PTFB. I don't know if it's common vernacular, so I didn't just use that acronym. I'm very proud of that one, the PTFB that became sort of a part of the jingle that we do. The jingle
lingo.
How about the lingo?
Lexicon.
Yeah, there you have
lexicon
it.
Is.
Yeah, the vernacular.
Vernacular. The language of sports talk radio in the great city of Chicago.
The nomenclature.
The nomenclature.
There you go. Get you a Big Lebowski reference.
What have you. It's McNeil and Park. It's on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I saw it hit the upright, and I hit the crossbar, and I'm like, sure, surely it'll go in.
Excuse me. Ah, shut up. Exactly. Just shut up about it.
The National Morning Show was talking about it today, too. I guess Pork Chop Jr. is in town to participate in the bar that's having the contest to see if any patrons can make a 43-yard field goal.
Yeah, I heard about the contest. I'm not 100% sure who you're referring to. I probably
Golic Jr.
Oh, yeah? His kid's in town? Why?
To participate in the contest the bar is having. I just said that.
But he, oh, I thought he was like, I'm seeing it, or
no,
is he participating?
He wants to do it. He's
that's
going,
what I
yeah,
was,
he's going to
sorry.
Participate. Yeah, I probably confused you when I said pork chop. My nickname for him is Pot Roast.
I see.
But he's not that chubby anymore. I'm chubbier than he is, so I probably shouldn't make fun of him in any way like that.
Well,
he's a bag, so.
Okay. I don't know his kid. I don't know his kid either. I don't know his dad. Oh, but his dad you're not a fan of?
Not particularly, no.
Okay.
No.
That doesn't.
On or off the air, actually.
Yeah, I didn't know if you had ever had any real interactions with him off the air.
Yeah, during a break. He was supposed to come on the show in Hawaii when we did our second Pro Bowl shows I did in Hawaii, and Golic was going to come on, and we're during a commercial timeout, and he looked like he was bored to be there to begin with. He wasn't very engaged in an off-air conversation. And when the fourth commercial played, he looked disgustedly at the producer. He says, are we going to do this?
Mm.
Oh, first radio show, Mike? These are called commercials.
Oh, man.
Coming right out to you, fella.
Yeah. Gotta move.
We going to do this?
Got to move a mountain to appease him.
Like, come on. Are you serious?
Yeah.
It's the fourth minute.
Right.
We're looking at the. We're sitting there on Waikiki Beach. It's a gorgeous day. We're being paid to talk about the Pro Bowl and NFL stuff.
Yeah. How
you going to do this?
How miserable can you be?
Jeez. Bag.
We got to do a show at the Pro Bowl, Mac.
Yeah.
Again, that'll complete the transformation to the old days.
I'd be hitchhiking to the Pro Bowl with that show account right now.
Well, we got to do better this weekend.
Well, we have plenty of time because they haven't announced it's going back to Hawaii next year anyway. It doesn't. The contract with Orlando expires after. I think this is the last year of that contract for the Pro Bowl in Atlanta or Orlando.
I can't imagine that's going to be a regular thing. Pro Bowl in Orlando. It's a destination for exactly no one.
Exactly. I mean,
Do it at the Super Bowl city or do it in Hawaii.
Well, that's
both
the one thing
sense.
Hawaii provided. I mean, screw the game when it's February, late January, and you've got Hawaii as a backdrop when it gets dark here and they kick the ball at 6 o'clock our time and it's gorgeous and sunny there. And I love that.
I'm with you.
Loved.
Well, yeah, right. Past tense. But no, Shep, we're gonna make some back this weekend in the show pot.
Okay.
We got it.
I'm down for that.
There's at least one underdog that's going to win outright. We got to just find which one it is. Chargers, Colts, and we're not betting the Eagles. So
I'm on board with that.
The Colts are the, I think New Orleans is the best favorite of the day, even though it's the biggest number, which scares me because dogs have been barking for a couple of weeks now. Well, at least in week one of the playoffs and going back to last year's playoffs, the dogs have been performing very, very well. Fashionably, everybody loves Indianapolis. That's where everyone, Indianapolis, if you got to play a dog, play Indianapolis. I don't know.
I like the Chargers.
If I'm going to play Indianapolis, I'm more inclined to play them on a money line because it pays almost 2-1.
But see, this is what I was talking to you about yesterday. Like, that's why are you losing again? It's because when I don't only play chalk, but when I play dogs, I find myself taking the money line instead of taking the points. So then, okay, they lose by 3. They cover. That should be a win. You snuffed out a live dog. But they didn't win it outright because you were getting greedy to try to win 2-1. Just
be happy
with your even money return.
I know. I broke my own rules. Guilty as charged. Look, I wrote the Ten Commandments. I didn't say I abide by them. I mean,
true.
I got greedy with parlays. Parlays are...
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, parlays. I got cocky, too, because it was a couple weeks of... We had a 27-hour stretch where we doubled our account, almost doubled our account. We won about $2,300 in 26 hours.
And easy come, easy go, because it's all gone. It is all gone.
Well, in the attitude of house money.
Right.
That's one of the commandments. Do not go bigger just because you hit several plays the day before. I know this.
Well.
Yet on Sunday morning, his fingers are feeling frisky. Watch this. Okay.
Do you consider this weekend to be better than Championship Sunday, or which do you prefer?
I always have favored Championship Sunday, but I'm going to watch all four games, every damn play of them, absolutely.
Yeah, as will I.
I just, Championship Sundays, I love it. I think, you know, for many years it exceeded the quality of play in the Super Bowl, but we've had some really good Super Bowls in the last 10 years.
Yep.
Terrific Super Bowls. You asked me earlier today which in recent memory is my favorite, and it's New England closing the door on Pete Carroll in his attempt to repeat. Not only was that a fantastic game and had a wild and controversial finish, that conclusion to the game was a huge swing with my plays. So,
well, that's biased.
I have to
admit
it. Well, that had something to do with it, sure. But
sure.
I mean, how often does the last play of the game swing fortunes in both the total, the point spread, the money line, and I had a prop on Russell Wilson to throw at least one interception, and that was his first of the game when Malcolm Butler jumped the route.
That's an all-time play, and it's an all-time winning day in a swing play for gambling. It's fun when iconic moments in sports history, like, worked out for you with gambling.
Yes. God, was that a great game.
Yeah.
Was that something or what?
Right. Like, I tell the story of betting the over in the 6-overtime Syracuse-UConn game. It's like, man, that was easy. I've been a winner for so long. It was incredible.
That Patriots-Seahawks Super Bowl, I also had the over in television audience. That was one of my props that day.
That's a
fun bet. Yeah, I think the over-under was $119 million.
Got to wait till the next day, though, right?
You had to wait several days. I think it was 3 or 4 days before they officially declared it official.
Got it.
Is that what this is? Official?
Yeah, see, I love the props. We'll have interesting dichotomies on our prop bets because you like to do a lot of the tackles, first catch.
First sack, yeah.
But I enjoy being the component of being able to bet on everything that goes on during the Super Bowl. First commercial, color of the Gatorade shower, number of planes in the flyover.
Shots of Jim and John Harbaugh's parents during the Niners Super Bowl against the Ravens.
I love that stuff.
Which should have gone over but didn't because the lights went out in New Orleans.
Travesty.
They had one shot on TV in the first half, and in the second half, because of the long delay when they lost the power,
yeah,
they forgot the script. They never went back to the parents. Never showed them again, nor talked about them again the rest of the game.
And forgot the script in your... Because I always think that those are juice to the over. It seems so obvious. Like, oh, yeah, of course, they'll show the parents over 3.5 times, but then...
You would think.
Yeah, but then they show it once, and maybe they show it once again in the second half, and they feel like they've done that story, and then they move on from it.
And I think the over was 1.5, so I thought for sure 1.5, in case you were going to the bathroom or getting a sandwich in the first half, there they are again, plus the story and the game is changing, you want to give them a different shot. That's at least 2 shots of parents of 2 guys coaching against each other in a Super Bowl. How can you not show them at least 2 or 3 times?
Can't go to the bathroom during the Super Bowl. You can't miss a commercial. You can't miss a halftime. You can't miss anything.
Yeah, I'm content to miss the commercials. I mean, I like them, but I don't live for them like so many people do.
I don't live for them either, but if you're going to watch a live event, it's the best time ever to watch the commercials.
Yeah, you can just go online after the game and watch every one in order, too.
No question. I saw a thing today on SportsIllustrated.com that CBS is doing 7 hours of pregame for the Super Bowl. No gambling content. How stupid is that? 2019.
7 hours of pregame and no wagering discussion.
No prop discussion.
Why?
Just they're not going to do it.
Did they say why?
I did not see an explanation other than just an outline of what the pregame was going
to
be.
This would be something we would do if we were in Atlanta. Had the Bears advanced to the Super Bowl, we would be at the CBS news conference. I've been to several of those over the years. And you want to add, Sean McManus, is that the big boss still at CBS? Is he still running the show for CBS Sports?
Yeah.
He does a news conference. All of his announcers are at the news conference. I took a shot at Phil Simms with him sitting at the dais when I was there, when I went to one of those with Sean. It was more I had an HD question, why they're still doing games that weren't in HD. The bad games just 10 years ago were not 10, 11 years ago, maybe 12, weren't on HD. When HD technology had passed the tipping point, I had to ask the boss of CBS, why in the world at 3:30 in the afternoon am I watching the Raiders play at home on you know, 1960 television. That's what it looks like when you have a high-def monitor with no high-def signal going into it. And he gave me a typical broadcast exec response.
Yeah, exactly. You're always going to leave disappointed feeling after those things.
Yeah, but that's what we would ask him. Why are you not having any conversation about gambling? Think anybody wagers on this thing? What's the pregame at the Kentucky Derby all about?
Yeah, it's ludicrous.
You've got great stories, but it's all about who's going to win place and show.
I'm with you. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.